everybody well. We're now in the period, of course, of Sfiras HaOmer, and Sfiras HaOmer actually embodies two different themes, which in the world we live in are often in contradiction. On one hand, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, this is the Hachana for Kabbalah Satira, and in fact, Pesach is the Zman of Cheiros, and Shavuos is the Zman of Torah, and Sfira is linking the concept of freedom with the concept of Torah to remind a person that if somebody is simply free, but they're not mishabed themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their freedom is an illusion. Their freedom is meaningless. That is why Chazal say the Korban HaOmer is Sa'orim, which is Michael Behema, and the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos is Michael Adam, because freedom, in fact, it's very relevant to the political campaign here as well, freedom without responsibility is ultimately very, very destructive. There was an Indian poet, Tagore, who said it in a very beautiful way, not about Jews, not about Torah. He said, a human soul is like a violin string, that within that string is beautiful, beautiful music. Now imagine if you took a string and you simply cut it loose and put it on a table. Totally free. You won't be able to get any music out of it. Paradoxically, being totally free does not liberate the beauty that is within. It's only when you tie the string down that it's able, so to speak, to express itself. And that's really the mashal of Shavuos and Pesach. Of course, one could ask a kasha based on that cheshbon. So why don't we count Sfiras HaOmer the first night of Pesach? Now, the Sefer HaChinuch wants to answer, because since the first night is the actual night that we left Mitzrayim, and we're starting then, so Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, you don't want to mix the next Yom Tov in. But L'chair, it's a bit of a kasha, if in fact the idea is that Pesach has its whole meaning in Kabbalah Satorah, it's not Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So the Baal HaTanya writes in the Sefer Likutei Torah, a very, very beautiful and deep thought. He actually says that Pesach represents what we call a geula isarusa d'li'ela. It is a hisairus from Shemayim. It was not anything we earned. We were on the 49th level of Tuma. It represented a gift that Hashem gave us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person gifts, and he shows him what he could become. But he then puts him down on the ground and says, now that I've shown you what you're capable of understanding, you have to make it your own, la'at la'at. And that's the nafkamina. Pesach is the sudden revelation of godliness beyond our madrega. Sfiras HaOmer is a gradual process in which we internalize what Hashem showed us and we make it our own. And that's why the first night of Pesach, we don't yet start Sfiras HaOmer, because the first night of Pesach is the night of Hiskalos. It is the night of Isarusa de Liela, which then becomes our own. Now the emes is, Rav Nachman of Breslov brings a mashal in the name of his great-grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, very, very beautiful mashal. And he starts off with this question. He says, we know, and I know this from my own work, that when a person is new to Judaism, a Baal Chozer B'Tshuva, everything is very exciting. Everything is very geschmack. You know, Shabbos is wonderful, and benching is wonderful, and davening is wonderful. In fact, there's a very, very famous, humorous article many years ago about the Lincoln Square Synagogue had a banquet in honor of the returnees to Judaism. So one of the persons there, one of the Balabatim, said, I really hate you, Bali Tshuva, because when I come home Friday night, all I want to do is have a Suda in 30 minutes and then go to sleep. And you want to talk about the Parsha and bring out all the beautiful things. So we understand a person that's a Chozer B'Tshuva is filled with enthusiasm. In fact, we have a whole bunch of nasty jokes about how do you know when a Baal Shuva has become integrated into the Jewish community. One is they talk during Chazar Sashans, the other is they bench in 2 minutes. And all of these jokes have a certain kernel of truth. So Rav Nachman himself raised the question, or the Besht raised the question, how could it be that the more mitzvahs I do, the less geschmack I get, the less connection to God I get? Now, you could always answer habituation, but that shouldn't work in the spiritual world. Yeah, it is true that in all of life, the more we do the same thing over and over again, the less it excites us. But in Ruchnius, it bedavka shouldn't be that way. In Ruchnius, I'm closer and closer to Hashem. So the Baal Shem Tov says this mashal. The Baal Shem Tov says, and it really fits with the Baal HaTanya said later. The Baal Shem Tov says, imagine a child. When a child starts to walk and the parents are holding it up and the child puts one step forward, and walking is geschmack, walking is wonderful. And then one day the parents feel that the baby is ready to start walking on his own. So they let go. And immediately what happens is, plop, plop, the kid falls down. And if the child could articulate his or her thoughts, the child might be very frustrated. The child might say, why was walking so pleasant and so easy a minute ago? And it's so hard. 18 months already regressing. But the short answer is, it was easy because we were holding you up. But now you're ready to do it on your own. And we're here to protect you. We're here to watch you. We're here to pick you up. But you have to take what we've shown you and make it your own. Says the Besht, this is exactly the situation of the Baal Tshuva. The person that is so far from Hashem because they're not yet connected, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to pick them up and show them the sweetness of Torah, the beauty of Torah. And that's why there's such a geshmak. But at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've shown you what you can become. Now it's your job to make it your own. And therefore, the Rav Nachman concludes, when a person has struggles in Yiddishkeit, counterintuitively, that is a sign of Hashem's confidence in them, that they're capable of greatness, that Hashem is no longer holding them up in the same way. And this is exactly what the Baal HaTanya is saying, is the relationship of Pesach to Shavuos. That Pesach is the Yisairus of Hashem showing us, Masharash Rasa Shifcha Layam, that even the lowly maidservant saw on the Yamsuf more than Yecheskel saw in the Maisa Merkava. But Svira is, I've shown you what you can become. Now become it. That's why in spiritual life there are going to be Alios and Yuridos. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, and sometimes it's one step forward and two steps back. But you got to keep going. You know, the old T-shirt saying, which is true, T-shirt sayings are usually true, that is, life is a journey, not a destination. And that's very much a fundamental truth. It is the process of our trying to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is the essence of what our life is. We can't measure success. We don't know if we're going to be successful in anything. But the journey itself is the success. The Kutzker Rebbe says, the famous Gemara, that when a person says, Yogati v'lo matzasi, I worked hard and I didn't find success in Torah. So Chazal say, you don't believe him. So most of us understand that to mean, because for sure, if you really worked hard, you'll understand Torah. Kutzker Rebbe gives a different shot. He says, no, maybe you won't understand. But by definition, if you were miyageya to understand, you have been successful. That is the hatzlacha. That is the definition of what it means to be matzliach. So it's a self-contradiction. It's not shaykh to say yagati below matzasi. I found it. So that's one idea of sphere. So sviras ha'aymer is a time in which we work on ourselves, in which we grow, in which we take the chayrus of Pesach and we turn it into a gradual kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, progressing toward Shavuos. So seen in that light, Sfira would be a time in which we focus on learning more, being more meticulous in davening, Shmiras HaMitzvahs, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And yet we also know that this is a period of time in which we mourn the deaths of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, who died between Pesach and Shavuos. Machlokas exactly when they died, and it's Machlokas, how long do you have the Minhagim of Avelis of Sfira, right? There are many, many different customs. But all of the Sfarim tell us, the Gemara Yevamos tells us, that the students of Rabbi Akiva, whether they died in a plague, or some historians want to say they died in the Bar Kokhba revolt, it makes no difference how they died. But Chazal told us why they died. Now, that's a very unusual thing. You know, we can't, for example, talk about the Holocaust, why 6 million Jews died, because we don't have Nevi'im, and we don't have Chazal that have that same level of Ruach HaKodesh. But the Chazal of the Gemara did tell us why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died, and that's because they did not show proper kavod to each other, and therefore they were taken away. Now, the word kavod, we translate respect, dignity, honor. Rav Shimshon Afal Hirsch says a very interesting etymology, makes perfect sense, that the shorish of kavod is kavedus, heaviness. looking at somebody weighty, meaning Refresh points out, you know, it's entirely possible to treat somebody politely, not rudely, but you look at them as a, we even say in English, you look at them as a lightweight. They lack gravitas. Rav Hirsch says the notion of having kavod for somebody doesn't simply mean behaving in a dignified manner. We can assume the students of Rabbi Akiva were not pushing each other in line, calling each other names. We can assume that. But me'ezetam shiyia, maybe because they had such a great Rebbe, they felt they didn't need to learn from each other. There was a sense of looking at the other with a sense of beetle, negation. They don't matter. They're not part of our group. They're outside. And the avodah of Sfiras HaOmer is to be mesaken the chait of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva by developing a sense of kavod for other people, not just being nice to them, but seeing their chashivas, seeing their godliness, seeing the beauty of their neshama, seeing the nekuda within them that is their, the reflection of the Tzelem Elokim, which is infinite. And the fact that it happened during this period of time is no accident, because Kabbalah Satayra itself required that there would be unity and achdus in Klal Yisrael. Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Tahor. Vayichan is a singular verb. Ish Echad Uvalev Echad. Mimela, you want to be Makabal Taira, you have to have achdus. How do you have achdus? By seeing the kavod within the other person. And then you can understand his chashivas and the like. Now, I started off saying that these two themes, to some degree, are contradictory. Not really. But in the world we live in, we often encounter two types of personalities. In fact, we look at ourselves and we can sometimes see we're one way or the other. There is the personality of the person who is really trying to grow in Yiddishkeit, who becomes verbrennt, he's a kanoi, he's zealous, he's stark. And that could be a very good thing. But we generally see a phenomenon, psychologically speaking, that as we grow in our fervor and our enthusiasm in Avodas Hashem, we often look down at other people that we feel are not moving in that same direction. There will often be a sinas chinam, a bitul, a delegitimation, a demonization. Now, then you have another personality type, a person that is a big tent, Avas Yisrael, I'm okay, you're okay, I love everybody. I respect everybody. I see all viewpoints. I'm tolerant. I'm open. I'm accepting. But that often means I'm very lukewarm in my own commitments. Because if everything is acceptable, if everything is good, then nothing is good. There are no standards at all. Some people sometimes say this is the difference sometimes between the American Orthodox personality and the Israeli Orthodox, but obviously this is a big generalization. In America, you know, the good thing about Americans, and we say this in Eretz Yisrael too, I say it, is we're tolerant, we're accepting, we know how to get along with people. In Eretz Yisrael, there's so much polarization, so much machlokas. I don't just mean between religious and secular, but you can subdivide religious into 1,001 categories. You know, they say that certain Eskimo tribes can identify 300 different shades of whites because they have to know when they walk on ice and snow, you know, this color, that. And, of course, in the time of Chazal, too, we find in Saras there were many different shades of white and different shades of red, and we don't even see the difference. In Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, they see every little shade of religiosity with crystal clarity. You would look at two Jews, you would think they're virtually exactly the same. Right? To this day, if you could try to be mechalek between Rav Shmuel Orbach and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, it would be a very, very dakistic chiluk, and yet it's a big deal. So what happens often is, as we become fabrent and as we become kanoim, it's often at the expense of our ability to see the goodness in another person. And on the other side of the coin, as we see the goodness in another person, we often become less committed to the growth, our own growth in Torah and mitzvahs, and we become pashranim, if there's such a word, compromise. Sviras HaOmer tells us, to be mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, you have to be a kanoi, not only in Bein Adam Lamakom, but you have to be a kanoi in Bein Adam Lechaveru as well. That simultaneously, with a passionate, fervent commitment to Emes, you also see the good in a person. One should be able to see the good in a person. Even if somebody has a day or someone has a hashkafa that might be totally wrong. First of all, you don't know if it's totally wrong, but let's assume it's totally wrong. It's kineged. But you can still understand that the person has an integrity of wanting to be connected to Hashem in some level. A person might be lost. A person might be mistaken. But you can only reach a person by love. You can only reach a person by respecting the integrity of their personality. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Kamayim aponim el ponim, kein leif ha'adam li'adam. And the Gra says, really, it's the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk, but the Gra emphasizes it. When you look into water, you see a reflection of your face. Whatever you show the water is what your face is. I smile at the water, I get a smile. I frown at the water, I get a frown. The heart of a human being will reflect back that which I show it. I show a person love and respect. That person will love and respect me and what I stand for. I show a person disdain and beetle, that is what they will feel for me. I label a person as a Amalek, as a Russia, then indeed that's what they'll become towards me. If I treat a person with respect and hakaras hatov, whether it's a soldier in the army, again, I apologize, I talk more about Eretz Yisrael issues now because I've been there for 6 years, but the basic idea is that Sfiras Haimer reminds us, if you want to be a Kanoi, you have to be a Kanoi in Avas Yisrael as well. And let me just end with a beautiful thought of the Meshech Chachma. We know that the famous way Klal Yisrael were Mekabel Torah is with the declaration of Naseh V'Nishma, Kol Asher Diber Hashem, Naseh V'Nishma. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that when the Yidden said Naseh V'Nishma, two Malachi Yashares came to every Jew and put two crowns of glory on their head, one Keneged Naseh, one Keneged Nishma. And those crowns of glory remained until the Chet HaEgel, when they were stripped. And everyone knows what's the godless of Naseh V'Nishma as opposed to Nishma V'Naseh. So again, I mean, there are many pshatim. The simple explanation is Naseh V'Nishma is giving Hashem a blank check, meaning if I would say Nishma V'Naseh, that would mean let's hear what you're offering and then we'll do it. We'll decide. Naseh basically says no matter what it is, right? Naseh V'Nishma, we give Hashem, unlike the Umos Ha'ilam that constantly asked, Ma Kosov Bai? Naseh V'Nishma is Pumfaker, Naseh, and then we'll hear afterwards. But the emes is, you might remember, that it's a little strange, because in Parshas Yisra, you know, Matan Torah is bifurcated. The story of Matan Torah is in two Parshios. That itself is an interesting question, why it's separated. But in Parshas Yisra, it just says, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh. The famous verse, Naseh V'Nishma, is only in Parshas Mishpatim. So apparently the Yidden said two different things. Naseh V'Nishma. What's the significance of the two psukim? So the Meshech Chachma says the following. We know Chazal teach us there are 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs aseh, 365 los aseh, and Chazal correlate them to parts of the body. There are 248 connected my bones, 365 connected my sinews, my ligaments. Each mitzvah, saseh, is mechazek, a bone, and we don't know exactly what that means. We get arthritis if you don't put on tefillin, you know, we don't know exactly, but it gives some spiritual life to the bones, and pumfakert, violating the negatives, will hurt the sinews and the ligaments. Now, if that's emes, if every Jewish body, l'chol apachas, corresponds to the minyan hamitzvahs, then we have apparently an unwinnable situation, because there has never been a single Jew in history, and there never will be, who could keep all 613 mitzvahs. Some of them are men and not women. Many, of course, are only bisman hamikdash, but even bisman hamikdash, even under optimal conditions, there are mitzvahs that are kohanim. And then you get into a strange situation. I mean, some mitzvahs we're not supposed to do bedavka. I mean, let's take the mitzvah of get, right? Giving a get is a mitzvah saseh, that if you want to terminate a marriage, you have to give a get. Well, it's not a chiyuv, but on the other hand, if it correlates with the bone, which one of my bones is not getting its chiyus because I didn't give a get to my wife? Right? It's kind of very, very strange. So how is it shayach for a person to be mashlim his neshama through the tayag mitzvahs? It seems to be impossible. So the Svarim tell us there are two terutzim. Terutz number one is even a mitzvah that you cannot do, if you learn about it, the aura of the Torah of that mitzvah will permeate. Chazal say it by korbanos, that one who learns about the korbanos is ke'ilu you brought a korban, but it applies to every mitzvah. You learn about saras, so it's ke'ilu you went through the mitzvah of mitzvira. You learn about gittin, it's ke'ilu. In other words, whatever light a mitzvah gives you, you get through the light of Talmud Torah. And the second answer, the Svarim say, is avas Yisrael. How does avas Yisrael enable me to keep taryag? Because when I join myself to Am Yisrael, and I become a chelik of that guf, which has a past, present, future, then even if I as an individual can only do a small percentage of mitzvahs, I am part of an entity which collectively has all of those mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs of the past become the mitzvahs of the present, the mitzvahs of the men are the women's, the mitzvahs of the women's are the men. Mashenkin, when I separate myself, I only have my mitzvahs. My mitzvahs, by definition, are not going to be mashlim my neshama. So now, listen to what the Meshech Chachma says. The Meshech Chachma says, these two pathways are merumas in the two psukim. In Parshas Yisro, it says, Vayanu kol ha'am yachdav, underline yachdav. That's merames to the time when Am Yisrael lives with achdus, with shalom, with unity, and with avas Yisrael. At that point, we can declare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are capable of doing the mitzvahs, nasa. I can't do it, you can't do it, he can't do it, she can't do it. Collectively, we can have a nasa. But the pasuk in Mishpatim omits the word yachdav. It doesn't say, if it says v'yanu ha'am, it doesn't say yachdav. That's merames to a time of machlokas, of sinas chinam, of polarization. At that point, we cannot fulfill the Torah ba'asiya, because each one is by ourselves. So that's nasa v'nishma, nishma meaning learning. We'll be Mekayim, the mitzvahs, through Talmud Torah. So therefore, the Meshech Chachma says that these two Mahalchim, the path of Achdus and the path of Talmud Torah, are merumas in the two psukim of Parshas Yisrei and Parshas Mishpatim. Now, just to end, these seem to be two different paths, but in fact, they converge and ultimately become one. It is true that when there's no Achdus, the only way we're Mashlim Taryag is by Talmud Torah, but it is the derech of Talmud Torah itself to create shalom. Chazal say at the end of Brachos, other Masechtas, Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom bi'aylam. So therefore, ultimately, if one is truly learning Torah in a proper way, that does not create barriers and walls and blockages. It opens doors. And if indeed, if one finds that through their learning, there is more pirud, there is more machlokas, there is more divisiveness, one needs to question, what are we doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Because Talmidei Chachamim are marbim shalom. If we're not marbim shalom, then can we be Talmidei Chachamim? So these are the two avaidas of Sfiras Ha'emer. The avaida of Taira, which of course is the Hachana Teshvuas, and the Avaida of Avas Yisrael and Kavod Abrios, which is also the necessary eifen we have for Kabbalah Sotera. So may all of us be zocha to grow in both of these areas, and I wish you much, much hatzlacha, and thank you for having me. Thank you. Hi, Michael. Shalom, how are you?
Good to see
you.
Baruch Hashem.
I hope everything's well.
Baruch Hashem.
Good, good.
Thank you very much.